Our text this morning comes from Matthew chapter 11. This is not part of a series. It's kind of a standalone sermon. We'll be back in the book of Revelation next week. But today in Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30 for the last week, this will be in your bulletin that I mentioned. It won't be next week. But I guess it is a New Year's sermon, but it's a different kind. This is not the, hey, it's a new year, let's take the next hill New Year's sermon. This is the, hey, we're all still tired from 2015 New Year's sermon. And as you've known from the children's sermon and from the songs we've been singing, it's about the rest and the rest that God brings. I made a major tactical error in the children's sermon of actually pulling out my pillow, because it's like Pavlov's pillow. I started just kind of, I'm still thinking about my pillow, so let's snap out of that. But, you know, as we come and talk to the Lord about the kind of rest we need, let's first come and pray and ask for His care for us today, and then we'll read His word in Matthew chapter 11. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we do come to You, maybe not all of us this morning, but many of us, just weary. And our weariness does not put You off. It does not frustrate You. It doesn't make You wonder how we can be so frail that even on a morning when we have the privilege of being in Your presence, worshiping together, we can still be weary. You understand it. And in fact, we've just come through the season of Christmas and thinking of the incarnation. And because of Jesus taking on flesh, Jesus, You know what it's like to not only be tired, but to be deep down bone weary. And so we pray that You would come and minister to us today. Lift our eyes to You, speak to us through Your word, and draw us close. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that You have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was Your gracious will. All things have been handed over to Me by My Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy, and My burden is light." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. I don't know if you've ever heard of this kind of party. We've got friends that for years have thrown in January a tired reindeer party. And I don't know if like they cooked up this idea or it's something you can find on Pinterest with like all the decorations. But the idea is this, that, you know, after Christmas, you're sort of partied out. And yet there's, you know, you want that sort of laid back party that often involves a white elephant gift so you can show off the most wonderful thing you got for Christmas that you want to pass on and bless some other family with. But that idea of like after all of this, just that picture of like, you know, tired reindeer, Rudolph, just sort of with the antlers drooping. Maybe that's what you feel like right now, because in spite of all the goodness of Christmas and the goodness of the holiday season, sometimes we sort of, after all the craziness, just feel like that. And maybe that's a picture for you, not only of being tired today, but maybe just kind of the weariness even of lots of things about life for us. Because life can sometimes, and often does, just drive us into the ground, doesn't it? I mean, we'd love to think that's not the case, or that we can just smile and make that go away. But sometimes we just know it and feel it. And our passage this morning speaks to us, Jesus speaks to us about rest. And here's kind of the heart of what we want to get at. Jesus came to give us lives that are defined not by busyness or by stress or drivenness or exhaustion, but instead are defined by rest. He came to give us lives that are defined by rest. Okay, and so in looking at our passage, we're going to look at three things. First, what is our weariness? Second, what is the rest that Jesus offers? And then third, and importantly, how do we get it? How do we get that rest? So first, what is our weariness? Look with me in verse 28. You'll see here in the ESV that we're using, it says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Some other translations, NIV, translate labor there as weary. Come, all of you who are weary. And the Greek word that's behind this means to labor to the point of weariness. And there's no real one word for that. So translators either have to kind of emphasize the labor part of it or emphasize the suffering, weary part of it. And so the ESV took labor. But, you know, as I read some about this, you know, nothing in the context around this is really talking about the work that we do. Jesus is getting something sort of under the surface, and it seems like maybe what he's really focusing on here is the suffering that the labors of life bring us. And so I think maybe a better translation here would really be the weary. Come to me, all you who are weary, who've been working hard and you're fried and you're done. Come to me, all you who are weary. And then heavy laden. I mean, you can picture heavy laden and what that feels like. You know, you're taking your groceries from your car to your house. How many bags do you take at once? I don't know if women play this game or not, but I know at least one man does. So, you know, how many can you carry in each hand? Like one in each, two, maybe four? Maybe this was the day you got 3 gallons of milk. And you're using, it's those plastic bags at the grocery store, and your fingers are all wound up in them by the time you get to the door, and you can't get your keys out, and you're heavy laden. This weekend, I read about the winter storm Goliath that hit in Texas, dumped snow everywhere. Read that Texas Tech's athletic center has this inflated roof they call the bubble. And it over the weekend, it collapsed under the weight of the snow. Was it designed to withstand snow, even in Texas? Yes. But what happened? There's too much. There's too much, and it just collapsed. It was heavy laden. And so Jesus puts these together and says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden." And maybe those images give you some picture of what it feels like sometimes. You can imagine that the roof of that building, there was a tipping point. At some point, it had the snow it could handle, and then a little bit later, it suddenly had too much snow, and it's all over. And so maybe you're right now at that tipping point, you feel, where we're not quite there yet, or maybe you can see it coming. You know, what's happening? Well, you're weary and heavy laden. It could be that you're seeing it and feeling it right now, maybe most in your job or in your family life or in your schoolwork. Or maybe you've, even more than that, caught a glimpse of the weariness that's down a layer or two from just the stuff that's happening around you in your life. You realize that your deepest weariness is not just fatigue and muscles being sore and being overextended, but it goes down deep, not just into your bones, but into your soul. You're weary and heavy laden. And you realize maybe if you keep pushing on that a little bit, you realize that if you really think about it and let yourself sit there, you're not sure what might happen next. You might just clam up and withdraw from others around you. You withdraw from your spouse. You withdraw from your friends. Or maybe instead you go the other direction. You curse and kick and yell. Or maybe you would just cry. You might have one of those chest-heaving, broken, don't-know-when-it's-going-to-stop kind of cries because you're weary and heavy-laden. You know, maybe the Old Testament writer who best had a bead on weariness and heavy-laden was the writer of Ecclesiastes. He said things like this: "Vanity of vanity, all is vanity, a striving after the wind." He said this: "All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, but there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Weariness. Maybe for you that weariness comes from the sense of like, I have to keep things up so that it looks good for other people. And you're tired because you just got done doing that with your house. And doing that with making sure your kids got the right gifts. And now you're about to step into a new year of trying to do that with your work and in your social connections. Maybe it's not just the keeping up appearances with others. Maybe you're feeling weariness from the weight of trying to keep up appearances with God. Come to church, and coming to church here means I serve on roadies, and I've got nursery duty, and I'm doing all my stuff, and I come and worship, and I go to life group, and try to squeeze in a couple times a week when I sit down and pray like I'm supposed to. And it could be that there are lots of good things going on that you're filling your time and your life with, but you realize what you're really doing is just trying to keep up appearances. You're trying to uphold this heavy burden of somehow not only looking good enough to other people, but maybe also looking good enough to Jesus. The problem is that we're all going to look for a solution to our weariness. Because sooner or later, it gets to be too much. We're going to find a go-to to try to pull that weight off. And maybe it's just Netflix. And one more series. If you've seen the Netflix commercial recently, there's this woman sitting on a couch. It's like late at night. And she comes to that awful moment of the last minute of the series she has been watching, and it's all over. And she's in despair. What is going to happen next? And then Netflix comes in to rescue her. There's another series for you. There's 100 more series for you. And what happens? Her eyes light up again. Because here, Netflix, you are going to do what for me? You're going to give me rest. You're going to give me rest. Maybe it's just your eyes on the next vacation that's going to happen. Maybe it's just distractions of 100 kinds. Maybe it's just actually the other way around. Like, if I can't beat it, then I'm just going to go with it. I'm going to drill down even harder. You know, we have this desire and need for rest, and we go around us all the time asking us this question: can you give me rest? When you find yourself in this moment, and maybe you realize it, or certainly your spouse realizes it, when you are trying to suck life out of them that they don't have to give you, are you going to be the one to finally give me rest? And when you don't, I will be frustrated and walk away. We do that with our friendships. We do that with everything around us, because when we turn away from God, who is our rest, it's not like our need for rest disappears. Instead, we start looking to everything to fill the hole of our need for rest. There's a children's book by P.D. something. I'm forgetting his last name, but it's called Are You My Mother? And maybe you remember this. So there's this little chick that's born, that egg hatches, the mother's flown away to get food, and he wakes up, he's born, and his mother's not there, so he falls out of the nest, and he starts going up to everything he finds. He sees a cat, and he says, "Are you my mother?" And the cat's not the mother. He goes to a cow, are you my mother? He sees a ship off in the distance, and he hears the horn blowing, "Are you my mother?" He sees this steam shovel that he looks up and is scared by, are you my mother? We are doing that to everything around us. Will you give me rest? Will you give me rest? Will this be the thing? Will this be the Christmas gift that'll finally flip the switch? Will this be the New Year's resolution that'll finally make everything work? Will this new person in my life finally bring what no one else has been able to bring for me? You see, the first thing we see is that Jesus speaks about being weary. We are weary people. Second thing we see here, what is the rest then that Jesus offers? Jesus begins with a sense that this weariness that he's speaking of is a universal condition. Okay, it's not like Jesus had certain very central things he liked to talk about: the Father, the coming of his kingdom, our need for God's work breaking in our life. And then there were some other like sideshow things he would talk about, like our need for rest. Like, imagine coming to me and saying, "Hey, can we sit down? There's some stuff going on I want to talk about." We meet at Starbucks, we sit down, and you come to me because I'm your pastor, and we open the Bible and we start talking. And at the end of it, I say, "But let me tell you, there's something else." And I pull out my bag and mention to you, I also happen to sell these natural supplements. Perhaps some extra vitamin D would be good for you as well. You look at me like, what kind of sideline business is this? When Jesus speaks to us about our weariness, he's not talking about some little on-the-side enterprise of his. He is talking about something that is very central to who we are, our need, and the need that he came to meet. The rest that Jesus offers is, in fact, the main business of Jesus. Because when he comes and says, "Come to me, all you who are weary," he's speaking to people who are understand the weight that is on them that they cannot lift off themselves. And it might be showing up in 100 different ways. As we've said, your work, your family, all those things. But what is he saying to us? He says that at the heart of all those things, there is a weariness and a disease that is in us, he says, that only I can alleviate. That only I can come in and heal. That only I can come in, forgive, and take off your shoulders. Jesus said, "You come to me, all you're heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But then verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly heart. You will find rest for your souls." He's not talking about two different things, like I'll give you a nap and then I'll give you something deeper. The rest he's talking about, the soul level rest. The biblical picture of a soul is it's the totality of who you are. In other words, you don't just need a nap, you need a refreshment that meets every single part of who you are. Jesus says, if that's the need you have, come to me, because he knows that it is the need of all of us. The rest Jesus offers is this all full-on rest of our souls. But it's interesting that he doesn't say, come to me all you who are weary and heavy laden and I'll just take everything away. He doesn't say that. He says, I will give you rest, but then look at what he goes on to say. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. A yoke, taking on a yoke, was obviously an agricultural metaphor, like oxen had yokes, they would pull things. It was also in Jesus' day a metaphor that was used as a metaphor. In other words, the Pharisees would talk about taking on the yoke of the law, which means taking on the weight of God's law as a good thing. Okay, Jesus comes and says, you are yoked to things. We are yoked to things. He says, take my yoke upon you. Take my burden upon you. In other words, Jesus says, when you come and follow me, there will certainly be work, right? But he says, when you are yoked to me, there is now a difference in everything that we do. That we are no longer striving alone. And we are no longer beating our arms at the wind. But we are now connected to Jesus. And there was another metaphor for yoke. It was a picture of servitude. Another way of Jesus to explain what Jesus is saying. He's saying, who are you going to serve? All those other yokes, all those other labors, or will you come and be yoked to me? And now maybe we can see why this is actually not different than everything else Jesus is preaching, but the very same thing. Because he says what? There is a kingdom that belongs to God, and I am the king. When he says, be yoked to me, he says, come under my authority and my care, and I will give you a different kind of rest, and I will give you a different kind of labor than you have been under before. He says, come and take my yoke upon you and my burden on you. At the heart of the rest that he speaks about, Jesus says two things. First, he tells us who this rest is for. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. In other words, what is the prerequisite for coming to Jesus for this kind of rest? It's a recognition of your own weariness and heavy ladenness, right? He says, come to me, all of you who are weary. He throws this out to all who will hear. It is this open invitation. If you are weary, what I have is what you need. And he goes on to say, that only He can give it, right? He says, verse 27, all things have been handed over to me by the Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. He's saying, I'm the one that gives this rest, and I can give it to whomever I choose. He says, come, all of you are weary and heavy laden. And that means if this kind of rest that we're talking about, or as we're getting into, this kind of relationship with Jesus that we're talking about, if that is something you know you've never experienced, then hear Jesus' invitation right here. He says, come to me. You're weary, you're heavy laden, you are beat. You have come to a place where you realize that you are not sufficient, not only for the demands of your own life, but just for life in this world, because without me, there is no way to truly live. He says, come to me. Maybe this morning you would hear that call for the very first time and respond to it. Or maybe you come this morning and you realize, I've been following Jesus for years, and I'm still in this spot, or I'm again in this spot, feeling the weight and the weariness. Well, let's hear His call to us again. Come to me. He doesn't say you only get one shot at this. He doesn't say that when you first came to faith, if you didn't experience a rest there and just sort of remain in that for the rest of your life, you've blown it. What does He say? He's saying to people who are following Him currently here, He says, come to me. The door is not closed to you. Don't let the fact that you've known Jesus for a long time and you find yourself back in a place where you're weary and maybe barren of soul, don't let that keep you from coming to Him. He says, come to me. If you're weary, come to me. But then this rest that Jesus offers, I think what's implied here, He doesn't say, He says, I'll give you a new burden. He says, I'll give you a new labor. You'll be connected to me. But in some ways, we'd like that to be a little more spelled out for us. Wouldn't we? Like a bullet list. Okay, so if I come to Jesus, or when I do, X, Y, and Z are going to happen. These four things. Every time I read the Bible, like, it's going to be fireworks going off, and like, my spirit will soar. Every time there's a need before me, something will leap up in my heart, and I will serve out of this gratitude of heart with no sense of frustration or having to battle with my own sloth and sin. Like, whatever your list is, that's not actually what Jesus says. He says, come to me. Well, here's what we get when we come to Jesus with our weariness. You ready? We get Jesus. He doesn't just say, come to me and I'll give you all these things. He says, come to me and I'll give you myself. And that's an answer that might drive you crazy on some days. You know? Let's back it up to Christmas. And what if you've got kids that are excited about Santa Claus? What if Santa Claus appeared to them and they said, what are you going to give me? And Santa Claus said, I'm going to give you myself. I'm here. The cookies you left out for me, we're going to eat them together. There would be, Lord of the Flies would ensue. Santa, we love you. We don't want you. We want your stuff. Where's the skateboard? Like, where's all the stuff we asked for? Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. But that rest is bound up in knowing Jesus. It's not something that He can hand to us that we can then take on our way. Okay, when I am tired in the middle of the day, I can drive through at Starbucks and order a coffee, and they will give it to me. And I will begin to consume that, and I will be less tired, and I will drive away. And I don't need Starbucks anymore because I've got it in my cup. Jesus doesn't say, here, take this, go your way, and you'll be fine. He says, everything you need is bound up only in me. And that means I don't have a product to give you. I have myself to share with you. And so, in other words, when we come to Him seeking what we need in our rest, it's not the simple solution of 1, 2, and 3. It is, let me give you myself. Come to me. Learn from me. Jesus, come and learn from me, because One of his favorite words for speaking about his followers was that we are disciples, we are learners, we are people that follow after him, that are connected to him. You know, if you went to college, you went to college thinking, I'm going and I'm going to, you know, metaphorically walk with these professors and these people until they teach me what I need to know, give me a diploma, and I can go get a job. Jesus doesn't graduate us. He says, come and be with me. Your life now is going to be bound up in knowing and walking with me every day. I'm not going to teach you how to go live life on your own. I'm going to teach you how to live life with me, connected with me. No longer living for yourself or all the other things that call to you, but instead living for me. Here's some pictures of that kind of rest that the Old Testament gives us that maybe you're familiar. Here's one we use for a call to worship sometimes from Isaiah 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me. Eat what is good. Delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. Do you hear that? Why are you spending your money on all these worthless things? He says, come without your money and buy the food from me that you need. Come to me. Jesus is echoing not only Isaiah, but the answer to Isaiah's longing. Jeremiah 31:25 says this from God, I will satisfy the weary soul. Every languishing soul I will replenish. Come to me, all you who are weary. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he's writing to this church, and he's speaking to them about how very exhausted and strung out he and his companions often are. Okay, this lighter yoke and lighter burden that Jesus gives does not mean the absence of a life that is incredibly challenging and even difficult. But he's speaking to them about his difficulties, and here's what he says. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer life is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. The outer self is wasting away, but he says his inner self is being renewed day by day. We do not lose heart. Paul was tapping into what Jesus was inviting us to right here, where he says, come, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Not the rest simply of an all-inclusive vacation, but the rest that comes and pulls us back up and fills us and supports us with the very power of God so that we can step into the things that Jesus calls us to. Your life, when you walk out of this room, if you taste what Jesus is speaking about right now, your life is not suddenly going to become simpler. You know, all those problems at work just evaporated. I love Jesus. He's going to send us right back into our lives with his presence. Because he didn't just say, come to me who are weary and get a little emotional high. He said, come to me who are weary and I will give you rest because I'll give you myself. Jesus offers his answer to our weariness. The rest that he offers is himself. Okay, now, last question. How do we get that? Okay, this is kind of the big question, isn't it? And depending on how we answer it, that's the difference between nice religious talk and something we can sort of sink our teeth into, right? We stop right now. We all go home, myself included, and go, okay, that was actually a kind of a compelling picture of like we could really have rest. Man, I am hungry for that. What am I supposed to do now? As I was asking myself that question this week, I kept noticing that Jesus didn't give us, again, like a five-step program to experiencing his rest. In fact, he really only said, you could boil it down to one thing. Here's what he said to weary people. Here's the answer. Come to me. He said, come to me if you find yourself in this place and you want the rest that I'm offering. Now, if you're astute, you're thinking, this is the non-answer that I was scared that we would get, right? Except that, my hope for you and my hope for me is that when we hear Jesus say, come to me, that's implying something about Jesus, okay? When you are in the swimming pool, in the deep end, right underneath the diving board, and you are telling your child that's got swimmies and an inner tube and like blow up chest things all over them to come and jump into the water, you're saying just jump, and the child's terrified, but what you are thinking is, after you jump, or even as you jump, I've got it from there. Like that, you're hanging in space after you jump. You don't have to worry at that point. That's on me. I'll get you. Jump. Come to me. And maybe that's behind what Jesus says here. He says, come to me. What happens next? Jesus better catch us. But he says that he will. And so maybe that this week, that looks like, Jesus, I'm weary in this particular place in my life. Maybe it's work. Things are unsettled there. I don't know what's going to happen next. Okay, there are things that I can do and things that I can't do. I can't fix a situation. I can't influence my boss. I can't make all the pieces come together. What can I do? Well, I can go work faithfully and trust you. And so, Jesus, I'm coming to you. And so I'm going to try to drop this expectation. Do the hard work of sitting my family down to have devotions at night or to try to teach my kids about Jesus or any of those. You just realize, like, I don't want to do it. What does come to me mean? Only you can give me rest, Lord. And honestly, sometimes I'm not sure I want that. I'm not sure I'm all filled up with sort of the fruitless striving I'm doing. But I need you to wean me off of it. Best I can, Lord. I want another way. You gotta help me. Jump. What's Jesus gonna do? He's gonna catch us. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You'll be right where you need to be. I will be there in the midst of it, and you will have me forever. Turn to me. Turn back to me. It's a new year. Where are you going to find your rest this year? Where are we going to find our rest this year? Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's pray. Jesus, even as we jump, we've got to trust you to catch us. You say, come, help us to come. Maybe that's for the first time. Maybe it's that daily turning towards you. Help us to come. Lord, would your words about rest get under our skin, come back to mind again and again this week. Expose for us the ways in which we are so restless. And show us how and what it means to find our rest in you. Help us to see your beauty, to realize that we were made not simply to receive your gifts, but to know and walk with you. We get you. Show us again how good and beautiful that is. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.